From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. From right here in Champaign County, take a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast and hear an update of the news, including some information from the United States Secretary of Agriculture. He says there is much work to do at USDA now that the government is back to work, including farm bill and immigration and U.S. trade. It all comes up during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers now in Chicago as they finished up on a Monday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit were a bit lower. Corn was higher, so were the soybeans. In the corn pit, December futures at $4.44, up 2.5 cents today on a settlement price. The March at 4.56¾, 2¾ higher. And May corn at 4.65¼, up 3 cents. July contract $4.72, up 2.5 in December of next year. A settlement price at $4.85¾, up 2¾. November beans, $13.75, up 12. January at $13.50, 10¾ cents higher. And the March contract at $12.81¾, up 9. That $13.50 is a half cent, not $13.50, by the way. Soybeans in the May contract at $12.64½, up 7¼. In July at $12.60½, up 7. November beans of next year at $11.77¼, up 6¼. Bean meal futures at $4.1570, up 5.60. Bean oil down 4 cents at $41.64. December soft red winter wheat for the day finished the nearby at $6.99¾, down 6. July at $7, down 2¾. And the hard red in 7.41½ was down 5 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $130.12½, up 25. December, though, at $131.90, 12½ cents lower for the day. October feeder cattle at $165.82½, down 25. November's 45 lower. They finished at $166.40, and lean hogs finished the December contract at $87.47½ per 100 pounds, down 47½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the afternoon trading the nearby November at $99.17 a barrel, $1.64 lower. The RBOB price of gasoline, the wholesale, at $2.65¾. That's down a penny and 6 cents. And ethanol futures at $1.82¼, a penny and 8 cents higher. The difference between the two is now 82¼ cents wide on the spread. That's 3¼ cents narrower than on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.66¼, 10 cents lower for the day. And diesel fuel at $3.04, down 2½ cents. Gold futures finished up $1.30 at $1,315.60 a troy ounce. And the U.S. dollar at 79.69 is up 0.04 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Partly sunny skies and the high near 54 degrees on a west wind about 11 miles an hour, and that wind will gust all the way to 20 this afternoon. Then tonight, areas of frost after 2 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy and a low around 32 degrees. West winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour, gust as high as 17. And then on Tuesday evening, or Tuesday day, rain likely, mainly after 2 in the afternoon. Areas of frost before 8 a.m. tomorrow. Otherwise, increasing clouds with a high near 51. Light southwest winds tomorrow at 5 to 10 miles an hour. They'll gust to 15 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tomorrow set at 60%. And then tomorrow evening, rain likely before 8 in the evening central time. Mostly cloudy and a low of 31. Northwest winds at 9 miles an hour. Chance of precip tomorrow evening at 60%. Wednesday, sunny skies and 47. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 31. Thursday, sunny and 47. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 29. Friday, sunny and 48. And Friday evening, a low of 33. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. It's the 21st day of October.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois for this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How did the trade ensue today now that we're looking forward to a crop progress report yet this afternoon?
Well, the bean market was on fire, definitely. Beans have taken over leadership here over the near term. We're seeing two aggressive bidders. We're seeing the export side being aggressive. Supposedly Asia has been a huge buyer here. Then, two, the domestic end user here in the U.S. Trying to accumulate some inventory. So for some meal and oil needs here has been aggressively buying. And the producer, kind of spot seller here, not dumping a whole lot of beans on the market, which created a vacuum here. We're in this traditional time window here of Columbus Day marking a historic low again and watching the market move higher here to shake some beans loose to fill some near-term demand. As far as the reports go, we'll have this afternoon's crop conditions report, which probably take a backseat to harvest progress. The ideas are that the bean harvest is 60% complete and corn harvest probably 40% complete. And more importantly, we'll start to look at what areas are ahead and what areas are behind, with the northern region starting to struggle here on adverse weather conditions.
Yeah, so as soon as we get to 50% on corn, things should ease up on that marketplace?
Well, it's probably going to take more towards 75%, because what's going to happen is once we wrap up bean harvest in most areas, guys are going to be more aggressive in the corn side of it. So this is going to take a little time. But there's some good demand underneath the market. When you visit with guys that need to buy grain, they're anxious and they're willing buyers. They want to not get caught like they've had in the past here, not having some coverage on. So they're going to be in there, not standing in line, but take advantages of dips here to get that coverage on.
This would be domestic use by livestock producers, ethanol plants, or export market, or all three?
Two of the above. The export guy is not going to be real aggressive here until they get near term. As long as they get some near term, they'll be in there. But when you look at the export market, we're expected to see a 500 million bushel increase over a year ago, up to 1.2 billion bushel plus. I think that's a fairly aggressive number. Asia's going to have to be in there steadily throughout the whole marketing year to achieve that. So I believe the export number's a little high. The $8 corn number is pretty well dinged our corn demand worldwide. I think we've lost this export share, and it's going to take some time to regain that back. I believe $4 or less corn, we regain that back at some point in the time. But ethanol and feed use is going to be the two big, huge categories, as usual, to eat up the supply we're having come at us here this fall.
Any reason to believe and or fear the Informa number that shows many, many more soybean acres next year?
I don't believe so. I think somebody's talking their position when it's all said and done. I could see isolated areas maybe going that route, but when you look at the corn-bean ratio for new crop out that far, I don't see that big a switch to the beans. If wheat prices would run on up higher, you could probably see a couple million acres increase in double crop. But right now we're having trouble getting some of the soft wheat in here in the east due to two wet conditions in some areas there. I think that was probably an extreme number. We don't foresee that, Todd.
Yeah, and they suggested, what, a 7 million acre switch into soybeans?
It's huge, yeah. I don't have those right in front of me here.
That's the number.
But, here in the Central Belt, guys just, set on corn, and it's going to be awful hard to see that shift, unless this D14 corn goes down below $4 or at $4.85 on the board, we feel producers can make some money hedging 14 crop here at $5 plus, and having a good crop is still profitable plant corn.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to bring you the agricultural news. Just a note of thanks to all of those who pledged their financial support to WILL and the ag programming that comes to you from willag.org last week. We do appreciate it. We'll bring you some totals as we make our way through this coming week.
In agricultural news, Canada and the European Union signed a free trade agreement last Friday that reportedly will give Canadian cattle and hog producers significantly greater access to EU consumers. The agreement must still be approved by the European Parliament and by Canada's provincial governments. The process made by Canada and the EU puts the United States under greater pressure to conclude its own agreement with Europe. Discussions on the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership that were scheduled for the first week of October were postponed when Congress forced the federal government to undertake a partial shutdown. Japan's trade deficit ballooned to a fresh record for September as costs for imports of food and other necessities outstripped growth in exports. Preliminary customs data released today shows September's deficit was $9.5 billion, the 15th consecutive monthly shortfall. Imports rose 16.5% in September from a year earlier to $70.3 billion. Imports of soybeans and other food machinery surged at double-digit rates. McDonald's Corporation's third-quarter profit grew 4.6%, with sales in the U.S. helping to make up for continued weakness in the Asia and Pacific region. McDonald's reported a profit of $1.52 billion, or $1.52 a share, up from $1.46 billion, or $1.43 a share a year earlier. Global sales at stores open more than a year were up 0.9%. Same-store sales in the U.S. rose 0.7%. The Asia-Pacific, Middle East, and Africa region posted a 1.4% lower same-store sales number, reflecting weakness in China, Japan, and Australia. Private analytical firm Informa Economics forecasts that farmers will plant 7 million more acres of soybeans in 2014 than they did in 2013. If realized, Informa's estimate of 83.9 million soybean acres would be a record. Informa projects, using a trend-type yield of 44.5 bushels per acre, next year's soybean production could swell to 3.7 billion bushels. Corn acreage is expected to fall 4.3 million acres next year, to 91.7 million acres. Informa estimates that U.S. growers will produce 13.7 billion bushels of corn in 2014, using a trend-type yield of 163 bushels to the acre. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. A couple of other news items of note. According to the U.S. Grains Council, Friday was a day of history. On Friday, the first ever bulk shipment of U.S. sorghum grain was berthed and unloaded at a port facility in China. The shipment of 2.36 million bushels is designated for animal feed and demonstrates, says the Grains Council, the continuing modernization of China's feed industry. From Washington, D.C., even though the partial government shutdown came to an end last week, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says there's still no budgeted USDA, no farm programs because there's no farm bill, and no workforce because we don't have comprehensive immigration reform. Vilsack says that makes this a very critical time for rural America.
It's a very critical time for the people who live, work, and raise their families in rural areas. They need an adequately funded USDA because of the help and assistance we provide. Those folks need a farm bill so they have certainty about what the programs are going to be that will provide economic opportunity and help and assistance as needed. And we need a comprehensive immigration reform so we have adequate workforce to be able to harvest the crops that our producers are capable of growing.
According to Vilsack, that's all very important work that needs to be done in the next couple of months. January the 15th is the new deadline for reaching a national budget. If Congress does not act, the government could be at a partial standstill once again. Vilsack has told his staff to focus on things they can control.
You can't control Congress. You can't control what's going to happen with the budget, with debt ceiling, with the negotiations and discussions that are going to take place. We have no control over that. What we can control is the work, the important work that's being done here at USDA, and we want to make sure that we continue to do that work because as we do it, as we remind people of the importance of this work, we may be able to reinforce the necessity of adequate budgets for USDA. We may be able to encourage the constituents that we're serving, our customers, the people that we care about in rural America, and our farmers and producers and our school children and so forth, that we are providing an important service and that as Congress gets to the work of making difficult decisions about the budget, that they realize it's important to adequately fund USDA's work.
That's U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Thank you so very much to each and every one of you who contributed last week to our fall pledge drive. Up next now, you know it's clear today that next year's income on Midwestern grain farms will be lacking. I'll have more on how things are changing. A good corn crop this year has the price of corn much lower than in recent times, but near what the ag economists at the University of Illinois have envisioned as the new middle ground. Extension farm management specialist Gary Schnitke wanted to know what next year's income from an acre of corn might look like. So he ran the numbers under three different yield scenarios. The starting point is the crop insurance price to be set in February of 2014. Schnitke uses $4.60 a bushel in his calculations. He says that immediately takes between $150 to $200 per acre out of gross income.
So first we looked at a high yield scenario, and this we looked at and said if our expected year yields 195 bushels an acre for central Illinois high quality farmland. If we have a high yielding year, we looked at the previous 30 years and what picked out the highest yielding years, we would expect our yields to be somewhere around 220 bushels per acre. And we come up with a price of 378. So high yields would result in a cash price in the 370 range. And that would result in about $300 of operator and farmland returns for corn acres in Illinois.
That's operator and farmland return. Things like cash rent would need to be paid out of this amount of money.
So if we had a cash rent above $300, that would be a loss.
The farmer would lose money under a high yield situation. Things get even worse if it's a normal yielding year.
If yields were close to average, the 197 bushels in our example, we'd project a cash price in that case of $4.12, so lower than it is currently, and we'd have $275 of operator and farmland returns, so lower yet. $25 less than our high-yielding scenario.
Schnitke's projections don't show a positive farm income from an acre of corn until the worst-case scenario shows up.
Drought year scenario, we looked at what happened to yields in 83, 88, and said what would happen if we had a year like that in 2014. We projected yields of 123 bushels an acre, cash price in that case of $590 per bushel. And we would project pretty healthy crop insurance payments in that scenario, $200 an acre. And actually, we have an operator and farmland return in that case of $390 an acre. So our best income operator return is under a drought year scenario.
Disturbingly, Schnitke's projections are made using much lower fertilizer cost already built into the numbers.
This scenario was built with much lower fertilizer cost than typical, but we had $140 of fertilizer cost for NP and K, which is down considerably from recent years. There's the cash flow that's probably will get cut other than fertilizer, maybe machinery purchases. So lower machinery purchases, but that's about the only one that you can really foresee coming down.
Gary Schnitke says farmers and landowners both need to understand the change which may take place next year on the farm. There are two things he believes would help. The first is adjusting cash rents. The second is forward pricing 2014 corn. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Amy Sage is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is the corn rolling in today?
Yeah, actually, we've been heavy on corn here for the past few days now, so...
And how's basis reacting?
Well, we haven't done too much from last week, but it's been weakening here on the rail side anyway. Obviously, we've got some harvest pressure here, and people are willing to be patient with the better yields. So values are soft right now, and probably will stay that way until we get through harvest.
Rail side is weakening because trains are hard to get hold of, or because the poultry producers into the southeast are all booked up.
I think they're covered at the moment and willing to kind of roll the dice and wait till we get through harvest. Maybe think they've got their cover. Excuse me, needs covered.
If they roll the dice, they're hoping for a lower price, I suspect.
Yes. Yep, but they're hoping also that we're going to see better yields like we have and that they can continue to get lower. But for right now, I think that it's just harvest pressure, and we probably will see a bounce after harvest. So.
Tell me about the yields in the area.
Better than expected. All across the board, it seems like, you know, we've got some fields that are down, some fields that... We're a little bit disappointing, but still better than what we expected after we turned off hot and dry. So I think that we're going to be pleasantly surprised here. By no means a bin buster, but still very good compared to what we thought we were going to be, oh, say, 2 months ago.
So. Soybean harvest pretty much wrapped up. And how did the finish go for yields?
Yeah, so we're all but done with bean harvest. Still think we're probably sitting at the 85% level. Didn't see too many beans over the weekend here. Beans also very, very much better than expected. Really across the board. Again, a few disappointing yields, but for the most part, you know, we were kind of waiting to see if the later varieties were going to lessen in yields, which they did slightly, but not near what we would have expected with the lack of rain in August and September. So we're happy with bean yields as well.
And your bids for the day.
Yes, sir. 429 on cash corn, January 442. Fall 2014 is 461. Cash soybeans 1288. January 1295. Fall 2014 1152. Cash wheat at 670. And new crop July at 675.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage, back in 2 minutes.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Henry Miller Shreve was born. An American steamboat designer, he helped develop the commercial potential of the inland waterways of the Mississippi River system. He created snag boats with a jaw-like bow able to pull up tree trunks and put them through a sawmill on their deck. Shreve's work was a major contribution to steamboat traffic on the Mississippi prior to the Civil War. In 1852, John Fowler was issued a patent for improvements in machinery for draining land, the first patent for steam cultivation. The mull drainage plow helped Irish peasants drain their peat bogs, making potato planting possible. In 1879, Thomas Edison demonstrated the first commercially practical light bulb at his laboratory in New Jersey. Edison experimented with thousands of filaments before discovering carbonized sewing thread did the job. The bulb lasted for 40 hours before burning out. And in 1990, Tom Carville died. He was the inventor of the soft serve ice cream machine. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Let's take a look now at the Monday weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
We have a succession of disturbances, in fact, three of them, that will be moving through the Midwest during this next five-day period. And each one of the disturbances will bring at least a little bit of precipitation into the region and further hindering the opportunity for any kind of significant harvest progress from taking place. The first little disturbance that's expected to impact the region is already in the eastern Midwest here today. We'll likely see the precipitation continuing to be focused on Ohio, portions of Kentucky, and some immediate neighboring areas. The precipitation today will be mostly quite light, just running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe a quarter of an inch. Another disturbance will be showing up this afternoon across portions of the northern plains coming out of the Dakotas into Nebraska. You'll notice that this evening working its way through portions of western Iowa, and overnight tonight that will become more significant in Iowa and northern Missouri, and then will run from Illinois over to Ohio during the day Tuesday. This disturbance, like the one before it, should produce mostly up to a quarter of an inch of moisture, but there could be a couple of spots that get a little bit more than that. This disturbance will be followed by yet another one that drops in through the Dakotas and heads for portions of northern Iowa again. This will likely take place on Wednesday morning. And by the time we get to Wednesday evening and early Thursday morning, we'll see precipitation moving again from portions of Illinois over to Ohio. And once again, we'll likely see another few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 0.2 inches of moisture resulting. During the course of this week, we'll likely see quite a few areas from the Dakotas into Iowa and then from Illinois over to Ohio getting precipitation. Most of this is likely to be relatively light. We'll look for it, though, totals by Saturday running upwards to 0.5 inch in that particular corridor. There may be one or two spots that could get just a little bit more than that. Once we get into next week, we'll take a little bit of a break in the precipitation. In fact, you'll notice that already occurring in the western Corn Belt on Wednesday night. But it'll probably be sometime Thursday into Friday that we'll see the dry weather really overtake most of the western Corn Belt. And as we move on into the weekend, we'll see dry air dominate a big part of the eastern Midwest. Some of that dry bias will likely still be with us during the early part of next week. At that point, we'll see the high pressure system moving off to the east, and it'll start to pump moisture up out of the Gulf of Mexico. This sets the stage for a little bit more stormy weather, possibly next week. Some of the computer forecast models have suggested substantial precipitation will occur across the Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern U.S., even portions of the plains. I think this is a little bit overdone today. We'll look for the models to back off a little bit, but still, I think we could look for 0.3 inches to 8 or 9 tenths of an inch of moisture across a fair amount of the Midwest at some point during the week next week. A close monitoring of the storm system is certainly warranted, but since we have so many days ahead of us before that storm system evolves, my guess is that we'll see the models back off quite a bit on the significance of that event, and it may turn out to be a very insignificant occurrence. We'll watch that closely. Our temperatures across the Midwest are expected to be mostly cool this week. We'll see a lot of highs in the 30s and 40s north, and we'll see highs in the south running in the 40s and 50s. Lows at night will be in the 20s and 30s, with freezes likely all the way down into central Illinois, northern Missouri, and parts of southern Ohio. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for his market weather forecast right here on Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. You have a very good and safe Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.